Revelation chapter 1. I'm going to start a new little series about Genesis and Revelation and the correlations between the both of them. In Revelation chapter 1, I just want to look at one verse right now, and it's a great verse. It's verse 3 in chapter 1. Say amen when you're there. It says this, it says, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." Y'all see that? God says you get a blessing by reading this book. You get a blessing by not just reading it, but hearing it and keeping it. So what we're going to do is we're going to just spend a little bit of time in the book of Revelation. Reason is because Genesis is the foundation of God's written word. Genesis is the foundation of all the Bible. Someone say amen.
Amen.
And Revelation is the capstone. You have the whole entirety of the word of God, and Genesis being the foundation and Revelation being the capstone. And because of that, unbelievers have directed their attacks more on the book of Genesis and Revelation than any other book. Because if they can discredit Revelations, if they can discredit Genesis, then what they're doing is they're literally attacking the foundations of the Bible itself. And they're afraid of those books because those books answer all our questions. The book of Genesis and the book of Revelation have a lot of things in correlation. Without these two vital anchors, is what I call them, the Genesis and Revelations are anchors of God's word. And without them in relation to this world, just think about it. Without Genesis and Revelation, all the modern religions, even Christians, they would all only tend to care about today and this present world. They wouldn't think about the future, and they wouldn't think about what happened in the past. They would only think about right now and today. And that's what we have a lot of today. People just looking about now, caring about now, thinking about their problems now, not thinking what the Bible says is looking for that blessed hope, looking to the right hand of the Father where Christ sits. Knowing what's going to happen in the future should help you for today. Knowing what's going to happen coming up. I'm leaving for the first time ever to Korea. Anyone ever been to Korea? Have you? Praise the Lord. What'd you do there? Ah,
how was it?
Eventful. Amen. Well, we have no idea how it's going to be, but anyway, it's exciting, and I know I'm leaving first thing in the morning. Thank you, Brian. Brian's driving us all the way up to JFK. We have to go out to JFK in the morning. We got to leave at 8 o'clock in the morning, and we don't have a ride back yet. So, if anybody's offering on Tuesday, late, what time is it, Tam? She thinks we're going to have to stay overnight. I don't think we can afford to stay overnight in New York. Yeah, exactly. Who can afford to stay overnight in New York? But that's all right. There is no such thing, good rate in New York. If you find a good rate, you don't want to go there. Cockroach Central. All right, anyway, we'll talk about that later. But so we'll talk about that later. So anyway, when I think about what's going to happen on Tuesday morning, I get anticipation of thinking about that, and I'm getting preparing myself for that. I'm preparing myself for a trip. You understand what I'm saying? So if you have Revelation and you know what's coming, we ought to prepare ourselves for what's coming. Does that make sense? It's just common sense. So if all the modern religions and Christianity without Genesis and without Revelation, they would only care about this present world. And we as Christians, as God's people, as God's children, we must defend these two key books. We have got to defend the book of Genesis and the book of Revelation, I think, more than anything else. So doing that, we must also understand that we must also understand it, we must believe it, and we must defend them because they are pillars of our faith. So with that said, Genesis and Revelation are clearly tied together in various ways. And right now, to start off, I'm just going to show you some things where it talks about in Revelation, talks about in Genesis, and it also speaks about in Revelation. The very first thing is found the paradise of God is spoken right here. Look in chapter 2 of Revelation. In verse 7, it says, "He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." So here we talk about paradise in the beginning of Genesis. We're talking about paradise here at the end of the book. And the second thing is creation of all things. Creation of all things that Genesis talks. Look in Revelation chapter 4. Look in verse 11 with me. Revelation 4:11 says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. The creation spoken of in Genesis is revealed here, spoken of again here in Revelation. Look with me, if you would, in Revelation chapter 10. The creation of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all the things that therein. Revelation chapter 10, look in verse 6. It says, "And swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer." In the book of Genesis, we see the creation act. And we see in the book of Revelation, them speaking about the creation act. You know, God didn't just create the earth. God also created the heaven. He also created the heavens of heavens. He created the planets, the stars, and everything in it. God is the creator of not just of physical matter, but he's also he's the creator of all life that belongs in it. All the life that is in heaven, all the creatures in heaven. I can't wait to get there. Because I think I don't know if this is true. I have no clue what I'm about to say. But do you ever look at the creatures under the sea and see how amazing they are? Like, I mean, bizarre, but yet full of colors and amazing things. I'm like, why did God make all that so beautiful down there? And he talks about it a lot, about the creatures that are under the sea. I wonder when we get to heaven if we're going to see everything that is on this earth was created from a pattern that was in heaven. I wonder if there's things in heaven that are going to be so amazing and colorful and just awesome that they were all, when God had them in heaven, he created them down on earth too. I don't know, but it's going to be neat to see. Get up there, you're going to see some amazing stuff in heaven. Some absolutely amazing stuff. And you're going to be Jewish because you're going to go, aha. Now I know why. Hi, they, uh-huh. And all, I'm telling you, when we get there, the things we're going to see. How many people think there's animals in heaven? Anyone think there's animals? One, two, three, four. What animals do you think are in heaven? What animals? Brianna?
Lions.
Lions? Okay. Tigers and bears? Oh, my. Steve? Huh?
Dogs.
You think dogs are in heaven? Well, I know the movie says so, but who else? Anyone else? What other animals are in heaven that we know of? There's going to be horses in heaven. We know there's horses. Okay? We know there's horses. And I think that, like I said, Steve said dogs. My dog, we just put our dog to sleep on a Friday. So my nephew died on Tuesday. We put our dog to sleep on Friday. And dogs don't have souls like we do. They don't have eternity. They don't have heaven and hell. But if you ask me as a pastor, man of God, Pastor, will dogs go to heaven? No. But if you ask Jesus for your dog in heaven, he just might resurrect and give it to you. You know, when you're in heaven, you say, Jesus, you think I could have my dog? Sure, why not? I don't know. God can do anything, can he? Who knows? I don't know. But anyway, God created everything in heaven. He created all the powers, all the thrones. He created all the angels. He created everything. And the book of Revelation talks about all the things that he created. Look with me, if you would, in Revelation 13, the foundation of the world is talked about in Genesis, the foundation of the world. In Revelation 13, look in verse 8. 13:8 says, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written, worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world." Talking about the Antichrist there, of course. It says, "From whose names were not written in the book of life that was written from the foundation of the world." God talks about the foundation a lot. Look in Revelation chapter 17 with me, please. Revelation chapter 17, look in verse 8. It says, "The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. The foundation of the world was talked about in Revelation, and the foundation of the world is talked, I'm sorry, Genesis and the foundation is talked about in Revelation. Talk about the maker of heaven and earth. Look in Revelation 14. Look in Revelation 14, verse 7. Revelation 14, 7 says this, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give him glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. Here we have such a correlation in the book of Genesis to the book of Revelations, and for the next couple of weeks, we're going to look at a lot of them. Book of Genesis, talk about, there's stuff that talks about the pre-flood, and then there's stuff that talks about after the flood. In the book of Genesis, we have leading up to the flood, and then we have from the flood all the way to the end, the death of Joseph, and the beginning of Moses coming in the law. So the book of Genesis is an amazing book, tells us all about stuff, and we're going to look at a lot of that. But one thing about the pre-flood event that I like is about the tree of life. You know, you hear about the tree of life in the garden of God. And here in Revelation, it's talked about the tree of life. Look in chapter 2. Chapter 2. In verse 7, it says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So here, before the flood, we have the eating of the tree of life. And here in the book of Revelation, we have the eating of the tree of life. You also have cherubim. And the Bible talks in Genesis about cherubim. Look in Revelation chapter 4. Very interesting. Revelation chapter 4, look in verse 6. Are you there? 6 down to 8 says, and before the throne, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast was like a calf, and the third beast had the face of a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Talking about these cherubim, we'll look at that at a later date about where the Bible talks about that's how they looked in the Old Testament. Also, you know what you see in the book of Genesis that everyone knows about? The rainbow. The rainbow you see talked about in Genesis, right? That's where it's also talked about in the book of Revelation. Look in Revelation chapter 4. Look in verse 3. It says, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in the sight like unto an emerald. Look in chapter 10 with me, please. Chapter 10, verse 1. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. And his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. We talk about the eating of the tree of life. It talks about the cherubim. It talks about the rainbow. It talks about Enoch. Remember Enoch? Now, many people believe about the two witnesses. That's going to happen, and talks about it, the two witnesses in the book of Revelation. Many people believe that the two witnesses are going to be Elijah and Enoch because they never died. Other people believe it's going to be Elijah and Moses. And I tend to probably think it's going to be Elijah and Moses, but there's a good reasoning for Enoch as well, because Enoch, what he did was, he was warning the world before the flood of what was to come. And that's exactly what one of the witnesses will do. Also, it talks about two witnesses that they stand before the throne of God all the time. That's these two witnesses. And if you think, and you think about the two witnesses, you have Enoch. He walked with God, and he was with God all along. So if you think about these witnesses that are always with God, think about that. They're always with them. The Bible says that, you know, Enoch walked with God, and God took him, translated him, which I believe is a picture of the church being raptured out before the wrath of God. It's a total picture. The Bible's full of types and pictures, and God reveals them to those that seek them, and he gives you full understanding about it. But if you think about Enoch, he never died. Elijah never died. There's a reason for that. The Bible says, for it is appointed unto men once to die, because these two witnesses will die. And Moses, he already died. So he would die twice if it was Moses. So I, like I said, I believe it's Moses, but there's a lot of people believe it's Enoch. You have to study it out for yourself and come to your own conclusion. But it's interesting when you think about it. The two witnesses, look in Revelation chapter 11. Look in Revelation chapter 11 and look in verse 3 with me. It says, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceeded out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. And it goes on that you can read that later. But look, if you would, with me, please. That's all I'm going to say right now. But I did want to think this, is that Enoch prophesied from Adam to Noah. And Elijah prophesied about from Abraham to Jesus. So you have a lot of reasons for that, to think about that. But also you have the seed of the woman spoken of. Very, very important, a very important doctrine about the seed of the woman. Does anyone know what the seed of the woman is about? And found in Genesis 3:15, you have to turn there. But God said, out of the woman's seed. What about that? What was the most important thing about that woman's seed? Anybody? Fran? The coming of Christ. The coming of one that was not of man. The one that was born of a woman. And we have an Isaiah saying, behold, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son. So we know that this is very important. Well, it talks about this also in the book of Revelation. Look with me, if you would, in Revelation 12. Revelation 12, verse 5. It says, and she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne. Look with me in verse 17. It says, in verse 17, it says, and the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is the seed of the woman of Eve, Jesus is the seed of the word of God, he's the man of God. When we receive Jesus Christ, we receive that seed in us. The Bible actually says in 1 John, it says, we cannot sin because his seed remains in us. The word of God is the seed sown. You need to get the word of God into your body, into your mind, into your spirit, into your heart more than anything else. The word of God is God. So you have to, don't ever doubt the word of God is God. When God gives his word, he literally puts his word above his own name. He said, I've given you my word, and what comes out of God continues to be God. Very, very important. But look what else we find in the book of Revelation talks about is that old serpent. Remember the serpent in the Garden of Eden? Everybody knows the story, right, kids? You know the serpent, right? Well, it talks about the serpent in Revelation chapter 12. Again, in Revelation, look in verse 9 with me. It says, and that great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. That old serpent. Look in chapter 20 with me. Chapter 20, y'all there? Look in verse 2. And he lay hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Here that old serpent was in the garden, and here that old serpent is in the book of Revelation. I want you to understand that the Genesis is the beginning, and Revelation is the fulfilling of all things. Jesus Christ is called the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You have Genesis as your foundation, and you have Revelation as the capstone that covers it. Do you know what else is in the Bible that talks about? It talks about the fountains of water and God making those fountains of water. Look in Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14. Are you all there? Look at verse 7. It says, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. And worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. The Bible also tells us that there four rivers ran out of the Garden of Eden to water the whole earth. Four rivers. And here it tells us in the book of Revelation that a river is going to run out of the throne room of God. The Bible tells us in Genesis that there was a tree of life in the midst of the garden. The Bible tells us in the book of Revelation that there's tree of life lining the whole river. The Bible tells us about the rainbow. It tells us about the cherubim. It tells us about the devil. It tells us about the seed of the woman, of course. It tells us about life. It tells us about everything in the book of Genesis. And in the book of Revelation, God finishes it all up. The book of Revelation is an amazing, amazing book. And I just wanted, what we're going to look into next week is the sevens. The sevens, the number seven. Who knows what the number seven represents? Completion. In the book of Revelation, there's more sevens than in the whole book of Genesis or the whole Old Testament or the whole New Testament combined. In the book of Revelations, it's all about sevens and sevens and sevens and sevens. We're going to look at that next week. It'll be very interesting, but I want you to think about what the seven mean. Completion. What does the book of Revelation? Complete. God is going to complete his purpose and his plan. God is going to complete his gospel. God is going to complete everything. We know it's coming. We know that it's near. I believe it's nearer now, of course, than it's ever been, but I can feel it. I can feel the falling away. I can feel the oppression. I can see the tides turning. I can see things happening. And I'll tell you right now, I'm looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But like I said, more sevens than in any book, and it signifies completion. Completion of the word of God, completion of the will of God, completion of the purpose of God. And we're going to look into that next week, but I want you to think about the Revelation. I want you to start reading it. Start reading from chapter 1. So when we get here next Sunday, maybe you should have read through the whole book of Revelation by the time we get here, and then we'll talk about stuff and you'll have more understanding on that. We're going to stop right now, but I'm going to open up to any questions if anybody has any questions that may be haunting them or just they want to know about, then maybe I can be a help to you. Does anyone have any questions? If not, we're going to close it. No? Okay. Well, let's close in prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Zach, would you please pray? Close in prayer, and we're done early. We have 20 minutes before service.